clear message from the chairman is that he expects the CFTC to be a more activist regulator.
And then let's move from that to another topic that's a little closer to home, to farmers and maybe to some of your grain elevators. What have you been doing to deal with convergence? And I know you're particularly well-versed in wheat. Can you tell me more about convergence wheat and the problems it's had and how you've been talking to the CME group?
We've had a number of discussions with CME Group, and actually we've had a number of discussions with producer organizations, too, and in trying to figure out ways that we can get better convergence, in particular on the wheat contract. Soy and corn have had a few problems, but not as much as wheat. And, the dialogue is continuing, but in essence we're trying to figure out if there's a way to design a loadout system that compels the taker of delivery to actually load the commodity out such that the futures market pricing of commodities ultimately has to face the valuations that are there in the cash market. We think the valuations of grain in the cash markets are really pretty accurate, but the futures, because the convergence has not taken place predictably in the last year or so, we've lost that central pricing mechanism of the futures. And that's not good for the marketplace. Farmers need accurate signals on what the relative values of the commodities are going to be able to make planning decisions and plant the commodities that they can best grow and that are most valuable.
For some of those who are not initiated, and we will have some listeners, we've talked a lot about convergence during the closing mark report over several months and maybe a couple of years at this point, but maybe you could explain what convergence is supposed to do and what it's not doing at this time.
Well, convergence really means that futures prices and cash prices in the delivery market in either Chicago or Toledo, where you can deliver wheat under the contract, at expiration, during the delivery period, when the contract is about to close, those two come together. They may be separated a little bit by a few pennies historically, but ultimately they come very close sometime during that expiration period. Sometimes it's not until the last few days. Most people, though, try to get out of hedges before the delivery process starts because you tend to get wild gyrations in price, and so there's more risk of carrying grain, either futures or cash, into the delivery period. When you don't get convergence, then in essence, the cash and the futures markets are disconnected, and that's not good for the marketplace. It says that futures are too high, really, relative to what the values are in the cash marketplace, and too high relative to what you can actually sell grain for in a cash marketplace in domestic and global markets. And so the lack of predictability there means that hedging, it means basis levels are more hard to predict. It means that the cash grain industry is more reluctant to aggressively price forward contracts because you can't predict what the basis levels are going to be. And that's the problem scenario we're involved with today and why we all have an interest in trying to fix the convergence issue.
I'm going to try to summarize that. It'll be a bit crass, I guess, but the way for those who don't follow the marketplace very closely, usually somebody is betting that the market will either go higher or lower,
yep.
Which either means that they're planning to, that they want to either take delivery or make delivery. And most of the time they want to get out of that before they have to do either of them. But the convergence part is where you would, if you were to ride that position all the way out, either take or make delivery. And at this point, there are times when that market doesn't actually equal what's happening in the cash grain market. So what happens in Chicago is not actually what's happening on the ground across the farm communities. And then that translates this way into the way grain elevators have historically handled sales made by farmers, that they've been able to take the grain elevator, sometimes will take that risk, allow a producer to make a sale any time of the year, and now that grain elevator owns the commodity when it were, when and if it were to be harvested, they take a position in the marketplace to protect themselves, and they've not been able to do that. So when you have a problem in convergence, it creates a backlog and a problem in the way producers can go about making sales at some points. Although I don't know that that's considerably a problem at this time, but certainly earlier in the year, farmers were not able to make sales of corn and soybeans and certainly of wheat as well.
Well, it's starting to, as credit is starting to ease up a little bit, the credit problem on giving it advances on and cash contracting and protecting those cash contracts with hedge is starting to ease up a little bit. But the problem is, if we don't fix the convergence issue, the basis levels offered on cash contracting are not going to be very attractive to producers because they're not going to be very close to what historical levels have been. And we think that can be fixed, and we think that it'll make the markets more predictable and more transparent for everyone. And I think everyone has an interest in making that happen.
How do you suggest it be fixed?
Well, we're looking at the compelled loadout as one particular option. If we're not certain we're going to recommend that, because we have to convince ourselves that we can construct a system that will balance the longs and the shorts and still get the convergence. But other options are going to cash-settled indexes if we have to. In essence, you take an average of 10 or 12 markets of what cash grain is being traded for in the commercial marketplace, and then at the end of the delivery period, in essence, that becomes the value of the futures contract. And futures contracts can be settled on that basis. And our industry really doesn't like that approach because you don't have access to physical bushels or accessing physical bushels through futures if necessary with that approach. But it would force convergence for certain.
One other note, would you also make available at this time? It's pretty certain that a producer is not able to make delivery. What's your position on allowing producers to be able to make delivery or make delivery small enough so that they can deliver a contract or two contracts as opposed to having something to be much larger than that?
Well, we've talked about that internally. We've talked about could you construct a system where farmers and maybe smaller elevators that currently don't have access to delivery services, could they participate in the delivery market? And in essence, you would have to force regular warehouses that are part of the delivery system to put up a part of their delivery and storage capacity to allow outside groups that cannot deliver today to participate. There is a certain argument to that that's attractive. It says, y'all come and anybody can do this if you want to. At the same time, if you've only got so much delivery capacity today and say you don't think it's adequate because of all the volume you're handling already, if you ask the regular delivery warehouses to put up 20% of their capacity for rent, for put-through agreements so that others can sell through and deliver, then you're taking away 20% of your capacity potentially, and so you're actually shrinking it. If the markets will work right, we have plenty of players on both the short and the long side, we think, to get convergence, and really that's what people should be concerned about. It's if the market is working properly, if the pricing on futures and cash come together at delivery, then why would anyone want to participate? I mean, it becomes a zero-sum game at that stage, and the markets are working. And in essence, when futures and cash are the same level, then there is no incentive to deliver the grain.
We need to take a break for just a bit. We'll come back and talk with you in a moment. I'd like to talk a little bit more, Kendall, about compelling delivery and then possibly what your feelings are about more delivery points and also credit in the grain industry, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks much. That is Kendall Keith. He is the president of the National Grain and Feed Association, joining us from their Washington, D.C. office. You're listening to the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report. We're expanding this program to a full hour for about 4 weeks through the 10th of October. and talking to some folks that we think you might find of interest. We hope so. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll continue our conversation with the president of the National Grain and Feed Association. I'm Todd Gleason.
I'm Bill Hammack. Next week, I take a deep look at our water supply. I'll examine how much we have, how to manage it for the future, and take a probing look at exactly how we use it. I trek through the new Illinois American well field near Bonneville, travel with a geological survey team as they bore into the Mahomet Aquifer, and, to my wife's dismay, follow her as she uses water. Join me next week on Morning Edition here on AM 580.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Christie Clinic Association, with offices in Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul, Mahomet, Tuscola, and Danville, providing quality health care to the residents of Central Illinois. Support for today's broadcast comes from the City of Urbana, presenting the local farmers market at the square every Saturday morning starting at 7 a.m. with homegrown produce, fresh flowers and plants, baked goods and food, and original works of art at the corner of Illinois and Vine Streets, downtown Urbana. Information at 384-2444.
Let's take a look at the way some of the settlements came across from the Chicago Board of Trade on a Friday afternoon. December wheat futures at 7.18 were up 25 and a quarter cents today. March contract at 7.37 and three quarters, 25 cents higher. December contract in the corn pit up 15 at 5.42 and a quarter. The March at 5.59, 15 and three quarters higher. November soybeans up 27 and a half cents at $11.43 and a half. The Jans at 11.59 and a quarter, up 29 and a half cents. October bean meal a dime higher at 312.50. October bean oil at 46.92, 248 higher. October live cattle at $101.55, up a dollar and a nickel. September at 108.25, 95 cents higher. And October lean hogs today, 68.20, up 37 and a half cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're talking with Kendall Keith this afternoon in our Harvest Hour edition. He's the president of the National Grain and Feed Association. Joins us from his Washington, D.C. office. Thanks for staying with us this afternoon, Kendall.
Sure. Enjoyed it.
We were talking before we took just a bit of a break about wheat convergence and delivery and something that you called compelled delivery. Explain that a bit for me. I think it's fully understandable by the term itself.
Yeah, I'll try to boil down in pretty straightforward terms. It's a really compelled loadout. Today, if you're long in the futures market and you hold that position through the delivery period and take ownership to grain, then some people are taking that ownership and just leaving the grain in the facility, the regular delivery warehouse, rather than loading it out and selling it into the cash marketplace. And the compelled loadout simply means that you wouldn't have the choice of keeping the grain there stored forever. You would have to, as the taker of delivery, load the grain out and in essence, face the valuation that's being offered in the cash marketplace for that grain. And it's sort of like forcing a mark to market, if you will, in the financial industry, and it says that you can't simply value your wheat at the closing futures price that might have been a dollar higher. Ultimately, you're going to have to value that grain at the cash price, which we think is a more accurate reflection of the true value of the grain.
In your thoughts.
In essence, it would bring the two together, the futures and the cash, because it would force the taker to understand of delivery to understand that they're going to have to face the cash marketplace, and the cash marketplace is considerably under the futures, and so they're more likely to liquidate their position as to holding it.
This is something you prefer as opposed to the cash index?
Well, we think it deserves the first look because it would continue to preserve a physical delivery market for the grains. And our industry, we think, would prefer that over a cash index. We think it has more support, at least initially it does.
We've been talking about wheat, but does this apply across the grains and the oilseeds?
Well, you know, we've not had as much problem on corn and soybeans. We've had a few glitches on the delivery period, but it's not as pronounced as wheat. I think the thinking is if we go this direction, then I think most people would prefer we try it in the wheat market, see how it works. You know, if it works well and we start seeing problems in corn and soybeans, then maybe we've got a fix for those markets too.
You know, the difference here is that different classes of wheat are traded at different places, and in Chicago, while it's soft red, it's really sets the world market.
It has historically. Today, it's probably a rougher gauge of global values for wheat than it's ever been, you know, in the life of the contract, and that's part of the problem. We've kind of lost our central pricing mechanism there, and people are not sure what that price means anymore because it has become disconnected from cash.
What does the organization feel about putting in more delivery points, and if you think that's a good idea, would you be okay with putting in more across the Midwest, other places around the planet?
Well, the CME Group has proposed some locations in Ohio and in the Mid-South where they've had real basis-level problems, and we think those are probably good ideas. We think there are limits, though, as to how far and wide you want to spread your delivery points because takers of delivery, you know, if you create a lot more uncertainty as to where delivery will occur, it becomes less attractive to them. Also, it theoretically makes basis levels more unpredictable because you don't know exactly what you're pricing against in the cash marketplace. I mean, if delivery can occur in many different locations, and so you know, there was one stage last year where the closing price, for instance, did a good job of converging on the basis of Toledo cash price, but it was 70 cents out of the market on the Chicago price. And so even, you know, 2 points on the Great Lakes like that can be out of whack that much. Well, if you move pricing out in western directions as well as southern, if you went to, say, the Pacific Northwest or something, some location like that, then the variety of cash markets would make that basis level more unpredictable. And we don't think that that's a good approach.
And we've left just maybe a minute and a half, and I don't think this will be too much to your dismay to talk about credit and the industry. Earlier in the week, there were some moves made by your organization. Tell me about those.
Well, yeah, we've been talking to USDA, CoBank, and a number of other entities in Washington about trying to see if there's a possibility of having Commodity Credit Corporation offer some assurances of performance on forward contracts and on warehouse receipts. It would expand, we think, the potential for the industry to gather and garner financing, at least by a certain amount. And it's been a tough year on credit because of all the borrowing needs of the industry to finance hedges and the forward contracts. And right now, because the markets have come off their peaks a bit, it's